You are listening to the 1440 podcast. 1440 is the youth ministry of Eagle Mountain Church in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information and for more resources, visit 1440.com.
I want you to listen to this. Now you can turn your Bible to Romans chapter 6. This is the last portion of our series concerning being immersed in the fullness of God. Last week we talked about death. This week we're talking about burial and resurrection. I was going to do just burial, but God showed me something about resurrection and the rising power or the raising power of the Holy Spirit, that I believe that we need to marry the two in terms of burial, what it means to be buried and what it means to be raised with the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, and what it means to be raised with a purpose to be seated with him in high places, or some translations say heavenly places. So I want you to get this. The death that Christ died was an all-encompassing death for anyone who will accept it. Anything, and I do mean anything, that needs to die in your life, your thoughts, your desires, your flesh, your impulses, anything that is connected to evil lust is subject to his death. Now, are you listening? Young person, I need all of your ear. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you enter into his death. You take on the fullness of his death. Through salvation, you also enter into his burial. Your old person, the person that you once were, doesn't just die and lie around decaying and stinking up the place. Now, I want you to get this, because this is the same. This is the language that the Word of God uses. It says we are dead to sin. Well, when something is dead, have you ever smelled something dead? You know it before you see it. Right? So listen, I'm gonna read this one more time and I want you to hear it. Your old person, the person that you once were, doesn't just die and lie around decaying and stinking up the place. The old person gets a proper burial. And when I say proper, I don't mean nice. I mean effective. It doesn't get a nice burial. It gets an effective burial. The old person gets a proper burial. It's put away, never to come back again, unless someone who is living exhumes the corpse. That is why 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this: therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There is a distinction between what has passed away and what has become new. When someone dies, the really cute way of saying someone is dead is to say, they passed away. Into the next life. They passed away. They passed on. Well, the Bible says that old things, everything that about the old person that you used to be, is passed away. And now everything has become or has been created, or that's the aorist tense of that verb, become, is that means it became, it is, has become, and it is becoming new. So you have been made new, you are new right now, and you are continually being made new in the future. Means tomorrow you're going to be more new. Or if you're where I'm from, more newer. Not manure, but more newer. Burial, by one English definition, this is so good. Burial, by one English definition, means to put in the ground, to cover with earth, to put a corpse in the ground or in a vault or into the sea, to put out of one's mind. Those are all definitions in the English context of burial. If you don't believe me, go check dictionary.com is where I read it. Get this. That is what happens to your old person, the person of sin, and everything that used to live in that person. It is covered with the earth, locked in an eternal vault, thrown into the sea of forgetfulness, and put out of our minds, never to live again. When God made you new, he killed the old, and he intended for the old to stay dead. So listen, the only way the body comes back is if a living creature exhumes it. Everybody's worried about the zombie apocalypse, where the dead people come back by themselves, come up out of the ground and chase you. And you need, for whatever reason, a Humvee or an old looking military Jeep and some special guns and a knife strapped to your back and some bow and arrows. You've seen the commercial. Don't try to act like you don't know what I'm talking about. All the people who trying to kill from The Walking Dead. Everybody's just trying to kill all the zombies. That's Hollywood. That's Hollywood. I know enough about life that I learned some things about death. They put you 6 feet under. They lock you in a vault. Well, hang on. They put you in a casket, lock the vault, put you 6 feet under. Why do they go through those links? So you don't come out. That's how you know it's got to be the Holy Ghost. If you come out after that, and I ain't even going to talk about the embalming process. That's a whole nother conversation. But if you come out after steel, concrete, a lock, and 6 feet worth of dirt, that's why they had to make a movie out of it. It's unbelievable. But there is another definition of burial. Watch this. The definition describes what happens to our spirit at salvation. At the moment you say yes to Jesus, at the moment you say, Jesus, come into my heart, come and be the Lord of my life. I give all that I am over to you. I realize I can't do it by myself because what I did myself got me into this mess. So it's crazy for me to think that what I'm doing myself is going to get me out of it. So I'm going to surrender all that I am to you. Take my life. What does Sister Gloria say? And do something with it. That's the prayer. Now get this. This is what happens at the moment of salvation. The definition of burial that happens at the moment of salvation to your spirit, it means to plunge in deeply, to cause to sink into, to cover in order to conceal it from sight, to immerse oneself. What's the title of the series? Immersed. To immerse oneself. Our spirit sinks deep into the person of Jesus Christ. And we become exact replicas or twins of Jesus Christ. Romans 8:16 says that our spirit bears witness with his spirit that we are sons of God. Sons and daughters of God. Of God. You become a byproduct, an offspring, a spurt off of him. An exact replica of his son in the earth. We are concealed from sight. Just like the definition says, we are concealed from sight, from the sight of the enemy. According to Colossians 3:3, because we died with Christ, we are also hidden in him. Is what the scripture says. Well, you are, because you died to Christ, you are hidden in him. Which means that nobody sees you anymore. They see Christ. We are immersed into his baptism of death. And every part of who we are gets buried in who he is. As if that weren't enough, it gets better. We are raised with him. Romans 8:11 in the Message Bible says this. I love the Bible. It says this. It stands to reason. This is Romans 8 verse 11 in the Message Bible. It stands to reason, doesn't it? That if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus. Bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. With his spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ's. Resurrection power dwells in you in full measure. This is not just a feel-good statement. There are people who will be like, oh, yeah, you know what? All that hooping and hollering, that just to make somebody feel good. Baby, no. This is not just a feel-good statement. I go home, drink Earl Grey tea just so I can get my throat ready to say this stuff. This is not just a feel-good statement, nor is it just a cute Easter saying. Resurrection power, resurrection, hallelujah. Resurrection power is an everyday reality for the believer. Every day. What's the motto? Every minute, every day, all for the glory of God. Everyday reality. It's an everyday reality for the believer. If we use our faith and employ it, it only benefits us if we use it. We have been, are being, and will forever be raised with Christ. It's an always statement. Let me tell you something about this Christian life. There are some things that are temporary. But your life in Christ is a forever arrangement. It's a forever arrangement. I know you find this hard to believe, but your body will age. Now, you can age gracefully. Praise God. You don't have to own wrinkles. I'm not telling you you're going to start walking with a walker and being wobbly and not being able to make it. The Bible says Abraham staggered not. You don't got to get old and feeble, but you will age because this is clay. But this Christian life has a promise to it that does not have an expiration date like your physical body. The book of Thessalonians says this. There will come a time when this corruptible body takes off corruptible and takes on incorruptible. It's an all time forever throughout the ages. As long as God lives, you will live with him because you are in him, because you've been baptized in him, immersed in him, fully put inside him. Not only I say what the Father says, I do what the Father does because I see my Father, I hear my Father. This is not just to make you feel good. It's a forever state of being, everyday situation, kind of rolling your care onto the person of God, not having to take it on you. That's why I can tell you that you don't got to take wrinkles. Because if you don't worry, you won't have wrinkles. You don't believe me? Go to China. There's a Mr. Miyagi looking dude right now, clipping a bonsai tree, not worried about nothing. And I bet you that little joker could whoop your tail. And he's 97 and a half. Why? Because he don't worry about nothing. How much more so should you be that way with the Spirit of God? The Bible says the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also quicken your mortal body. Somebody said, these is teenagers. What are you doing? Thought you supposed to have a story in 3 points. Romans chapter 6. Go to Romans chapter 6. We're going to look at this real good and close, and then we're going to just get funky with it. I don't even know where we're going. I do not. I know exactly where we're going, and we're going to have fun getting there. Let's go. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. I ain't got to do a whole bunch of preaching. I just got to read this scripture. Watch this. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live to it any longer? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? That's why I can tell you that when you took on salvation, you died. Your baptism did not wait on them to fill up the tank at church. Filling up the tank at church was a physical celebration of something that had happened in you already. When you took on the person of Christ, you were baptized into his death. The fullness of his death. You don't get all the way in water and only get a little wet. Baptized means to be submerged. You don't get submerged in something and just get a little bit of it on you. You get out all. You get it all. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Hello, any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that you should no longer be slaves to sin. I'm no longer a slave to fear. That's where it comes from. You're not a slave. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign. The Amplified there says, don't let sin be a king anymore. Yeah, come on. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. I'm just going to read the Amplified. Let not sin therefore rule as king in your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies. 120 years is nothing to God. It's something to us, but it's nothing to God. To make you yield to its cravings and be subject to its lusts and evil passions. You don't have to be a slave to the cravings of sin. You are above that. When someone says, you know what, I can't live this Christian life. I cannot live the way that Christ desires for me to live. And I said, you know what, I think you're right in a sense. You can't. He can. So won't you let him live? Won't you die and let him live? You know what? Suicide has to do with your flesh. I said I wasn't going to get off on this, but I wrote it down, so I'm going to say it anyway. Suicide has to do with your flesh. Anger at you, at your flesh, feelings, right? Feelings, emotions inside. An internal chemical imbalance maybe, or something going on the inside of you that prompts you to want to end your life. Let me encourage you to do this. Instead of ending your life, get saved. It will, in effect, end your life. It will. It'll end your life the way you know it. It'll totally end everything that you used to know to be true. It will absolutely just totally wipe out, just completely. Everybody's like, I want to just die so the pain will go away. Well, come die to Jesus. The pain will go away. Hallelujah. People who harm themselves. It's a physical thing. Flesh. I just need to feel something. I need to feel something. Feel Jesus. Get saved. It'll solve that whole problem. It'll solve that. He'll cut you, baby. He will. He will cut stuff out of your life that does not belong there. And you can watch it bleed with his blood as it covers you, and you will be a new creation. If you have an issue with yourself, get out of yourself. Get out of you. You got a problem with you. Get out of you. You're like, God, Pastor John, sometimes I don't like myself. Well, get out of that one. Get into the new one. You'll like him a whole lot better. All right, I said I wasn't going to say that, but I said it anyway. Okay. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. He's called you righteous. He's called you righteous. But the reason he can say that you are righteous is the reason he can say you're righteous is Romans 8, baby. It's because he can say that your spirit identifies with his spirit. He knows he's righteous. And if your spirit is baptized or immersed in his spirit, then you can be righteous. He can call you righteous because it's just like calling himself righteous. Why? Because the Bible says that you are the righteousness of God. How? Through Christ Jesus. Not in your flesh, but through him. So when he looks at you, he sees Jesus. Because you are hidden in him, according to Colossians 3. You're hidden in him. And so whenever God looks at you, he says, you know what? I don't care what the world says about them. That's my righteousness. And that's my righteousness because all I can see is my son. The issue is we try to do things in our righteousness. But the Bible says that your righteousness is as filthy rags. What does that mean? It means that the stuff that you can do in your flesh will always be tainted with flesh. It will always be tainted with something temporary, something that'll fade away, something that has an expiration date. And then when that thing expires, you got to do something else in the flesh to get the feeling back. Constantly chasing the feeling. Constantly chasing the emotion. constantly chasing it, constantly chasing it. You're looking for the next fix, looking for the next excitement, looking for the next thing that's going to make you feel as though it's okay. Constantly chasing it, constantly chasing it, constantly chasing it, constantly chasing it. Well, when you get into the person of Jesus Christ, it has no expiration date. So you chase it once. You chase it once. And then when you get it, you stay there. Having done all to stand, stand. Having done all to stand, stand. Having done all to stand, stand. In the full armor of God, you stand. How do you get into the full armor of God? Get into Him. And stand there. Stay there. Stay there. Stay there. And what happens? Your spirit bears witness with His spirit that you are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. Everything that is available to Him is available to you. Everything that bows to Him bows to you. Everything that responds to Him responds to you, because you're not you anymore. You belong to a higher authority, and you speak with the voice of a higher authority, and demons have been trembling at before Him all of eternity and all of history. So when it hears you speak with the roar of the lion. You don't even sound like you. You sound like the roar of the lion. Look, I'm getting way ahead of myself, but I don't care. Go to Hosea. Hosea chapter 11, verse 10. They shall walk after the Lord. I didn't give you this one. Don't worry about it. I realize that. Holy Ghost told me this over yonder. They shall walk after the Lord. He will roar like a lion. When He roars, His sons shall come trembling from the west. His sons recognize the roar. With a holy fear, they come trembling. You don't come trembling because you're scared of Him anymore. You come trembling because you know that there is a greater power. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Look at another one. Go to Amos. One click to the left. Amos chapter 3, verse 8. A lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy? A lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy? And then Peter, on the day of Pentecost, stands up and says, these men are not drunk as you suppose, seeing as how it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days I will pour my spirit out on all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. A lion has roared. Who will not fear? You can't help but prophesy with the roar of the lion. I believe this. I believe that over this generation, there is a lion that is roaring. There's a lion that is roaring, and it's not roaring from the outside to get to you. It's roaring from the inside out. There's a lion in your belly. There's a lion in your belly, and with the fire of God, with fire in His eyes, with a passion for a generation that if nobody roars, the sons won't come. Yeah. That's why Revelation, it says, and I weep bitterly. But I'm just going to read it. Watch this. Revelation chapter 5, verse 5. No, verse 4. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look into it. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose the seven seals. He always prevails. He always prevails. I don't care what you've learned or what you've experienced. He always triumphs. He's too good to lose a battle. He doesn't know how to not come out on top. Death could not hold him. The grave could not swallow him. The power of demons could not intimidate him. The Romans and the Pharisees and the Sadducees couldn't make him cry. They couldn't make him blink. And he hasn't been crying or begging throughout history. He won't start now. And so the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David that is inside you, roars. There's a militant anointing over this generation that is sick and tired of negotiating with devils. I'm sick and tired of negotiating with devils and with demons who came to steal, who came to kill, and who came to destroy. God said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. So right now I say life. Would you stay in a room with a rattlesnake? Would you lay in a bed of scorpions? Then why would you coexist with a devil that you don't have to coexist with? One of my favorite preachers says this. He says, when the devil shows up in Genesis, he's a snake. By the time he gets to Revelations, that means he's a dragon. Somebody's been feeding him along the way. Somebody's been feeding him along the way. And so in order to get the devil to shut up, we throw him a bone. In order to get the devil to shut up, we throw him a piece of meat. We pacify him. If he barks loud, we flinch. Not anymore. Not anymore. You let that joker die. Let him scream. Let him kick. He is going to die. And when he dies, you bury him. You bury him and you bury him permanently, never to be seen again. And when he's buried, you find that you become buried in God. Fully immersed. Fully immersed. And the next time the demon comes, knocks on the door, you don't go to the door. The lion goes to the door. And you don't guard it. The lion guards it. You know this? Y'all can come move this. I found this out about lions. Adult male lions, they don't just roar when they feel threatened. Matter of fact, adult male lions very rarely roar when they feel threatened. They just attack. They don't just roar when they feel threatened. You know when adult male lions roar? They find a high place. And they look out over their pride. And they position themselves with a stature of authority. And they open their mouth and let out the loudest roar that can be heard from miles away. And it's to let everything in the vicinity know that the lion has control of this area. Wow. It's not because they feel scared. It's not because they feel threatened. It's because they assert their dominance. And they dare anything. They dare anything to come on their ground. I believe in my spirit that that is why God describes himself as the lion of the tribe of Judah. The Bible says that you become engrafted branches when you get saved. You are rooted and engrafted into those branches that identify themselves as Judah, as Israel. You are engrafted into that system. So when the lion roars, he says, you can have other things, but this right here belongs to me. And I dare any demon to touch it. There's a move tonight. There's a rising up. What happened Sunday morning was the beginning. It was not a ending point. It was not an ending point. That was the start. There needs to be some training go forth, and there needs to be some positioning go forth. But I believe that some of you, inside you, the lion rose up on the inside of you, took the highest place that it could find on the inside of you, and just spoke to the rest of your members and roared out and said, you don't have control anymore. The lion is now in charge. It's a starting point. It's a launching pad. I believe there's a move of Almighty God that is a militant move of the Holy Ghost. And he's saying, I won't share anymore. I won't share anymore. I won't share space anymore. For those who would come to me, I will not share you with the kingdom of darkness. Light will consume you. And I can tell you, as a person who used to be the biggest hellion that I know, that when light shines in darkness, darkness runs. It runs. It runs. It gets nervous. It shakes and it runs. So right now, with every eye open and every head up, with every eye open and every head up, if you are in here tonight and you have never made Jesus the Lord of your life, this is your opportunity. And I want to tell you something. We're going to do this old school. I'm going to do it just how I saw it in my spirit. We're going to do this old school. We're going to do this old school. Because I believe that the Spirit of God is sick of negotiating. He's sick of negotiating. Either you're for me or you are against me. And if you make a decision for me, then you don't have to care about anything that would come against you, because anything that's against you is against me. See, back in the old days when they would give a salvation invitation, every head up, every eye open, the person would come forward and make a profession of faith. Then the saints would just go buck nuts, because they were excited that somebody else made a profession of faith and they knew who had joined their family. And so then the pride, hello lion, the pride began to gather around that person, congratulate that person. But it was an act of saying, if anybody messes with you, he messes with us. If anybody is against you, he's against us. If he comes against you, he comes against us. And so you'd have old men and old women, young men and young women praying for people's marriages, praying for people's children, praying for people's households. They used to do something called pound someone, which means that you went and got a pound of whatever it is you could find at the store and you took it to their house if they were hungry. You didn't go and get on welfare. You depended on the pride. My bad, I get a little historical. But if you're in here tonight and you've never made the Lord your Lord, I'm not asking you to understand everything about the Bible. I think that's where we get in trouble. We make people think that they got to understand it before they do it. I did it before I understood it. All I understood that I needed Jesus. My life was in trouble. I was hurting. I was desperate. And I said, God, if you're real, do it. And I'm going to tell you that that prayer has been the most effective prayer that I have prayed in my whole life. So if you're in here, man, woman, boy, girl, old, young, I don't care. And you would say, I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life. And I don't even understand it all. But I got to give something a try because this, what I'm doing, ain't working. I'm offering you love. I'm offering you acceptance. But I'm offering you a Savior that is a lion and he roars with a fire that will consume. He will consume everything in your life. If that's you, come on up here. If you have made him the Lord of your life before, but you've gotten away from it. Now listen to me, young person. That doesn't mean, oops, I messed up yesterday. That means you've made God the Lord of your life, but here lately you have not been living for him and you've made a quality decision to come out of the fold, to come out of the pride, to come away from the family of God. You come. It applies to you too. Cora, why are you up here?
Because a lot of things have been happening to me lately, and I kind of make it all that it's all my fault, and that it's all me that is doing it, and I have to solve it in my own way, and I'm not letting him help me.
Cora, he'll help you if you let him. Look at me, Cora. God loves you, Cora. And he'll help you if you let him. You know why I'm letting you say this in this microphone? Because everybody in here is either a sister or a brother of yours. And you were never built to do it by yourself. That's why the Bible says one could put 1,000 to flight, but two, 10,000. There's enough love in this room to consume everything you're dealing with. But you've got to let him. You've got to open yourself up. Are you ready to do that today?
Yes.
Let me have three girls, three young women. Hold on before I let you move. Give me three seniors. I have three senior girls. There's one. There's two. There's three. Come over here. The Bible says, let the old women train up the younger women. Now, when it said that, it wasn't looking at the women with gray hair. It was saying that those who are seasoned in the faith, let them train up the younger ones who are up and coming in the faith. Cora, what grade are you in?
Eighth.
4 years of experience. So when I say we're going to do this old school, we're going to do this old school. This is your responsibility. It's not my job to get these people back on track with God. It is my job to equip the saints. It's your job to watch after your brothers and your sisters.
Yeah.
Amen? Cora, y'all put your hand on her. Cora, say this with me. Say, Father.
Father.
Right now.
Right now.
I repent.
I repent.
I change my way of thinking.
I change my way of thinking.
I know.
That you.
Can handle. Everything.
Everything.
That's going on in my life.
That's going on in my life.
So I roll that care.
Onto you.
Jesus.
Jesus.
You are Lord.
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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, Cora, I'm going to do what I saw earlier today in the spirit. I believe, Cora, that there's a lion inside of you. By virtue of when you were placed here on this earth, and by virtue of the Holy Ghost that is inside you, I believe that there's a lion inside of you. And I believe that he wants to let out a roar. And I know you can do this because I've heard you do it before. I believe that he wants to let out a roar inside of you, out of your belly. And this time it's not just making noise. It's a sound. It's a sound that tells everything inside of you to line up with the word of God. So I'm going to put my hand on you, Cora. And I'm going to count to three. And I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to forget that anybody else is here. But when I say three, I want you to let out a sound that is the loudest, most authoritative sound that you've ever let out in your life. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for that? I know you won't need it. Because I believe that you came up here to be serious, to be for real. And so we're going to let all of the earth know that you're for real. Are you ready? Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I summon out of the place of her belly a heart cry, a roar of the lion of the tribe of Judah, of a generation that will no longer negotiate with darkness, but that will cry out to their God, and that the spirit inside of her will make a connection with your spirit, that she is a daughter of the Most High God. Corey, you ready? One, two, three.
Thank you for listening to the 1440 podcast. If the Lord has ministered to you in a big way through this time, we want to hear about it. You can email us at testify@1440online.com.